श्रीमद्भागवतम 1925 सूतोवाच युधिष्ठिरस्तदा करण्य शयानं शरपञ्जरे अपृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् ऋषीणां चानुशृण्वताम्। सो हियर द चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड पासिंग अवे ऑफ भीष्मदेव इन द प्रेजेंस ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा। इन दिस चैप्टर the Pandavas approach Bhishma Pitama when he is in his arrow bed, which is going to be his the bed from which he departs from this world, and while he is so he consoles Yudhishthira Maharaj and he guides Yudhishthira Maharaj. So after Yudhishthira Maharaj is recovered from his initial gripping grief, which has made him disconsolate, he then immediately sees this opportunity to enrich himself with the boundless wisdom that Bhishma Pitama has. So he therefore will start asking various questions about various subjects. So Yudhishthiras tada karanya. So after having heard in this way, Shayanam Sharapanjare, after having him heard him speak thus on an arrow bed, Shayanam, while he was lying down on the arrow bed, Sharapanjare, Apruchad Vividhan Dharman, he asked about various dharmas, Vividhan Dharman, Rishinam Chanushrunvatam, Rishinam, in the presence of the great Rishit, Chanushrunvatam, after hearing, Anushrunvatam. So after he heard Bhishma console him, then he asked Bhishma, now Rishinam Chanushrunvatam, in the presence of the Rishis, that indicates that actually Bhishma Pitamaha was greater than the Rishis. Normally, Kshatriyas hear from the sages, and often either Kshatriyas may go to the forest to hear from the sages, or the sages come to the palaces and the Kshatriyas hear from them. And here when Yudhishthira Maharaj, in the presence of the sages, and earlier it has been described how it was practically a list of the universe's who's who. All the greatest sages in the universe were present over there. And even in their presence, when Bhishma is asked the questions by Yudhishthira, so thus Yudhishthira, who is actually at this point the king of the world, the de facto monarch of the world, so the most influential person in the world, is effectively declaring Bhishma Pitama to be the most powerful person, most learned person in the world. Because he is chosen to answer questions even in the presence of others who are much more learned. So text 26. Purusha Swabhava Vihitan Yathavarnam Yathashramam Vairagya Ragopadhi Bhyam Amnato Bhaya Lakshanan Purusha Swabhava Vihitan. So Vividhan, various subjects that were mentioned in the previous verse. So now what are the subjects that about which questions were asked? That's mentioned here. Purusha Swabhava, the nature of purple, Vihitan, as is prescribed, Yatha Varna Yatha Ashramam. So people's Varna and Ashrama is decided according to their nature, and accordingly they have their prescribed duties. Yudhishthira Maharaj asked about the nature of duties of people according to their varna and their ashrama. Vairagya ragopadhi bhyam, vairagya, attachment, raga, attachment, upadhi bhyam, designated designations, amnato bhaya lakshanam, amnata, systematically ubhaya of both, lakshanam, symptoms. So there are various varnas, various ashramas. These are all ordained according to people's natures, and depending on whether people are attached or they are detached, they have different prescribed duties. So all such duty is Yudhishthir Maharaj asked. So essentially, Yudhishthir Maharaj understand that now he is in a position where he has to lead and guide the whole world. And for doing such leading and guiding, he needs comprehensive wisdom, not just the wisdom about any one particular subject, but he also needs some understanding of everything. The Prashila Prabhupada defined knowledge as to know something about, to know everything about something and to know something about everything. That means we need to have a specialization where we are good at and where we can learn, where we can learn deeply and we can contribute substantially. But at the same time, we cannot be unidimensional specialists where we don't know about other subject matters. So we need to know about all subject matters, and that is what is discussed in this. That's what Yudhishthira Maharaj learned from Bhishma Pitama, text 27. Dana dharman raj dharman moksha dharman vibhagashah stri dharman bhagavad dharman samasa vyasa yogatah. So dana dharman, the dharma, word dharma is multivalent. It has many, many different meanings. Here, dana dharma. So, especially those who are grihasthas, one of their important duties is charity. So, dana dharma, raj dharma. So, dana is one duty of grihasthas, but along with that, Yudhishthira Maharaj is not just any other grihastha. He is the king. So therefore, Raj Dharman, as a king, what are his duties? Moksha Dharman, and ultimately, all people in their various duties are meant to progress towards moksha. But those especially who have renounced the world, their focus is almost exclusively on the pursuit of moksha. So these are all various duties which are there for different people, and Yudhishthira Maharaj tried to understand all these duties. He inquired about these. Now he had some knowledge, but he wanted to refine and deepen his knowledge, and thus he asked Bhishma Pitama, Sri Dharman Bhagavad Dharman Samasa Vyasa Yogatah. Sri Dharman, gender roles are often a source of great confusion in today's world, and gender roles need to be clearly understood for people of different gender to be able to contribute in a harmonious way in society. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked about a Sri Dharma because he also, because he is the king, he is the protector of everyone, including the women. And one form of protection is also giving proper engagement, so that they can also protection is not just physical, protecting people from danger and death. Now that if we consider that kind of protection, even a prison offers protection, but that protection is a restriction. You know, protection, all-round protection means protection that that helps people grow, helps people contribute, that helps people feel that they are doing something worthwhile in their life. That way, we don't just protect their body, we protect their mind also, and ultimately we protect their soul, because we give them an opportunity to develop their bhakti for Krishna. So all these are encompassed in protection. So, Sri Dharman, Bhagavad Dharman. So, Bhagavad Dharman refers here to the Bhagavad Dharma. There is a list of various dharmas that is talked about. It's significant that that list culminates in Bhagavad Dharma. Underlying and unifying the various diverse dharmas is the principle that all souls are ultimately parts of Krishna and all souls are meant to serve Bhagavan Krishna. The specific ways in which they may serve will be different, but the principle is that they do need to serve. And that service is what is the underlying unifying aspect for all of us. So samasaryasa yogataha. So by overall, generally and specifically, he understood all those duties. He inquired and he learned about them. Srila Prabhupada in these purports gives elaborate explanations about what these duties are and how these duties are to be performed. So we are focusing on the overall flow of the Bhagavatam, understanding the broad concepts therein. So let's go on to the next verse. Text 28, dharmartha kama mokshamscha sahopayan yathamune yanithamune nana sankhyane tihaseshu varnayamasa tattvavet. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are the four purusharthas. Sahopayan yathamune sahupayan, along with the methods. Yathamune, as they were, as is appropriate, O sages. Nana akhyana. So now, this principle of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, you know, they can be talked as concepts or they can be illustrated through incidents, through historical stories. A very important principle in Vedic culture is to look at the precedents of previous acharyas and learn from them. So, nana akhyana itihas, itihaseshu. So, the recitation of various historical tales from the past. Varnayamasa tattvavet, varnayamasa. He described one who is, one who knows the truth, tattvavet. So, in this way, various aspects of living, Bhishma Pitama is describing. The word tattvavet is very significant. Here Krishna uses the word tattvavet in the Bhagavad Gita to refer to those who are the knowers of spiritual knowledge, those who can be the imparters of spiritual knowledge. In the famous verse 4.32, he says, tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshante jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshinaha. The word there is tattvadarshinaha. It's similar to tattvavet. The point is the tattva. But to see the truth, to know the truth. The word tattvavit also comes, this is in 4.34, the word also comes, tattvavittu maha baho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matvana sajjate. This is 3.28. Krishna says that what is work within the modes, what is work beyond the modes, all such things the tattvavit understand. The tattvadarshi knows how to impart real knowledge to followers. So the point here is that Bhishma Pitamaha was tattvavet. And thus he gave knowledge about various subject matters. So there are four purusharthas and they are important aspirations for human life. The same Bhagavatam earlier has talked about how all the purusharthas should be dovetailed towards the pancham purushartha of prema. Dharmasya apavargasya naartho arthayo pakalpate naarthasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hismita jivasya tattva jigyasa naartho yascheha karma bhi. So, kamasya na indriya piti labho jivayata yavata jivasya tattva jigyasa naartho yascheha karma bhi. In these two verses, in the early part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter itself, the point is made into point 9 and 10 roughly. It is stated that all these purusharthas should be used for ultimately for the pursuit of apavarga, for ultimate liberation. So, the interrelationship of the various purusharthas is well known to Bhishma Pitamaha, and thus he is guiding people to move forwards. By giving the knowledge to the leader of the people, that is Yudhishthir Maharaj. Text 29. Dharmam pravadatastasya sakalah pratyupasthitah yo yoginaschanda mrityor vanchitas tutarayanah. So, dharmam pravadatastasya, while he was describing dharma in this way, his various analytical detail, where he was describing, at that time what happened? Sakalha pratyupasthitaha. Sakalha, that time appeared. Pratyupasthitaha. It appeared. What was that time? Yo yoginaschanda mrityor. That time which the yogis who desire to depart according to their will. Chanda mrityor. Those who wish to depart, thus, vanchitastu, this is the time that they desire, vanchita. So, vancha kalpatru, we say, that you are the desire fulfilling tree. Tu uttarayanaha. Uttarayanaha is the time when the sun is in the uttara, the northern direction. So now here, this subject has been talked about in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Attaining the Supreme, as Srila Prabhupada titles it, Akshara Brahma Yoga, as is often titled in Sanskrit. And here the point is that, at least there in the 8th chapter, point is that Bhishma, Krishna actually in that chapter talks about how departure at a particular time in Uttarayana is auspicious, that leads to liberation. Departure in Dakshinayana, that also leads to elevation but not liberation. And from that elevated position one returns back here. And then Krishna concludes that section by describing Naite Sruti Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Bhukta Bhavarjuna. He says that don't get confused by these two paths, O Arjuna. Ultimately, if you just focus on being engaged in yoga, you will attain perfection. Naite Sruti Partha Janan Yogi Muhyati Kashana. Or Arjuna, or Partha, know that those who know the truth, they do not get bewildered, the yogis do not get bewildered by these two paths. Because the path of yoga elevates one's consciousness to a higher spiritual level. And from that spiritual level of consciousness, anyone and everyone can move forward towards perfection. So here, the acharyas describe that Bhishma Pitama did not have to leave his body in Uttarayana alone. He could have left his body any time, and because he was always absorbed in devotion to Krishna, because he is an exalted devotee, he would have attained the perfection of life irrespective of when he departed. But Krishna had arranged a plan for him that Bhishma, he had done a great sacrifice for Krishna's sake. Bhishma had fought against Krishna. Apparently, at least if we look at the read of Mahabharata and read the Mahabharata superficially, then it appears as if Bhishma was bound by monetary considerations. And simply because of monetary considerations, he gave up his affection for his virtuous nephews, the Pandavas, and he sided with his vicious nephews, the Kauravas. Actually, they are not the nephews, you could call them, both of them were his grand nephews. So, often he is called as the grandsire, but he was not exactly the grandsire. He was the, we could use the word grand uncle. But either way, the point is that some people may think that he sided, he chose the wrong side. But Bhishma, he was inspired by the Lord from within so that he would be able to teach a very extraordinary lesson. That lesson was that even no matter how powerful, no matter how glorious, no matter how renowned, resourceful, redoubtable a person may be, if they fight against Krishna, then they will be defeated. Then they will not be able to succeed. So Krishna wanted this principle to be demonstrated, and for demonstrating this principle, he had arranged that although Bhishma fought on the wrong side, although Bhishma was defeated, here now Krishna will demonstrate how Bhishma was ultimately victorious. There are in every way Bhishma's departure will turn out to be auspicious and glorious from the mundane perspective. Of course, death is tragic, but still, if a person is going to die surrounded by one's loved ones, and even till the moment of death one has had the respect and the affection, the reverence of one's loved ones. Sometimes when people become old, others, their younger people often lose the respect for the elder. But if someone has had the respect even to the last moment, and not just that one has others' respect, but one has one's own wisdom and one's own consciousness still clear. Nowadays it is quite tragic when people, as they age, they sometimes get some degenerative diseases like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, and then they can't function. They not only can they not function properly in terms of physically functioning, but they can't function properly also in terms of emotionally, from in terms of intellectually or intellectually be able to process things properly. They may have occasional moments of lucidity. So if a person has lucidity till the moment of death, that is also considered fortunate. And if one has so much lucidity that one can instruct the most powerful person in the universe at that time, and one can instruct in the presence of others who are considered to be greatly learned, great sages, then that is also a great fortune. And so from the material perspective, Bhishma's departure has these ideal attributes in all these perspectives. He was dying in the presence of his loved ones. He was dying while having his lucidity and instructing the most powerful ruler of the earth at that time, and instructing them in the presence of the most powerful sages who are among the most learned people over there, as demonstrating his glory. And further, from the devotional perspective, as it will be demonstrated, now he would depart from this world in the presence of Krishna. So that is devotionally auspicious. Krishna himself says in the 8th chapter of the Gita that we should remember him at the time of death, then we will attain him. And for remembering him at the time of death, we need to remember him before. So, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. He says in 8.5 that those who remember him at the time of death, they surely attain him. And then he gives a general principle about such remembrance, and then he gives a specific instruction. He says, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmarayodhya cha mai arpitamano buddhir mamevaishyasya samshayah. He says, therefore, externally do your duty and internally remember me. Or rather, first he says, remember me always and then do your external duty also. And by so doing, you can attain perfection. Mai arpitamano buddhir my arpitam anobuddhi, those whose mind and intelligence is devoted to me, they will surely attain me, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So from the devotional perspective, there can be nothing more auspicious than remembering Krishna at the time of death, and if Krishna is present right in front of one, giving one's own darshan to the person, then that indicates Krishna's presence, Krishna's mercy, and that is almost a very, very strong pointer or even guarantor of spiritual success. But even from the material perspective, Krishna wanted to demonstrate that Bhishma would not be the loser, he would be the winner. So for those who are from the Uhudu, now at that time, there were people who had beliefs, different kinds of beliefs at that time. Not everyone was a pure devotee. Of course, there were many pure devotees, but there are also people who are Karmakandi, they are followers of Jnana, there are people who are followers of Ashtanga Yoga. And here, Krishna wanted to convey to them that a Bhakti Yogi may not follow the process of Ashtanga Yoga in terms of Shucha Udeshe Pratishthapya Sthiramatmana Matmanaha Nati Nati Uchitamni, that one has to go to a forest and one has to live in a secluded place. Even if the bhakti follower does not do all these things, still by Krishna's mercy, even such a person will become elevated. And they will become elevated and they will move towards liberation. Such is the extraordinary mercy of Krishna. So even from the point of view of a yogic perspective, Bhishma's departing at the auspicious time indicates that he was successful. He attained a successful death. Text 30. Tadopasamhritya kiraha sahasraneer vimukta sangam manadi puruṣe krishne lasat pita pate chaturbhuje purahasthite militadruga vedharayat. So tado upasamhritya, he withdrew giraha, his speech, sahasrani, that speech which had distributed itself on many subjects matters, that speech withdrew itself to focus on one subject matter. Vimukta sangam mana adi purushe. Vimukta sangam. That speech free itself from all other subjects. Mana, the mind, and adi purushe. And to the original primeval person, it was fixed. Krishne lasat pita pate chaturbhuje. And to that Krishna lasat pita pate. With yellow garments, Pitapati, Chaturbhuje, under the four-handed original Narayan, Puraha, just before him, Sthite, Amilit Druka Vyadharayat. So he focused on that form, who was that person, who was the original Narayan, who was standing in front of him. And he absorbed himself in the meditation on that Lord Narayan. Now, while absorbed thus in the remembrance of Krishna, what he spoke, how he offered extraordinary devotional prayers, that will be described in the next verse. So here again, the withdrawal of his senses from everything else, his senses and mind and his speech from everything else, and focus on Narayan, who is Chaturbhuja. That also points towards Bhishma attaining yogic perfection. The yogis in the stage of samadhi, they withdraw in pratyahara, they withdraw their consciousness from anything else, everything else, and in samadhi they fix their consciousness on Vishnu. So the Bhagavatam is continuing with the theme of depicting how Bhishma attains success even in the light of yoga, that he focused on Vishnu, Narayan, who had manifested in front of him. And thus Bhishma's life was successful in every sense of the word. Thank you.